110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
And tonight's date is Friday, January 20th, 2023. And the off season has officially begun here in college football. So we'll be going over a few things tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Georgia beatdown of TCU that has, because after watching that game, you'd think that Ohio State probably missed a golden opportunity to win a national championship. So we'll discuss that. Then we'll talk about Brian Hartline's promotion. And then we'll go into some of the stuff, some of the players that are leaving and staying, as we got pretty much, I believe, all the announcements have now come out. So, and that'll pretty much be the show tonight. So, Georgia. So, yeah. Ohio State loses by a point to Georgia, TCU beats Michigan. And then, Georgia just absolutely destroys TCU.
58 points is what they beat.
People forget now about the 2006 Ohio State.
I highly doubt they're going to forget about the Ohio State games. Unfortunately, TCU does not have the name recognition or the cachet of Ohio State football. So Ohio State getting drubbed in national title games is still going to be reminded to everybody.
I will at least remember that TCU.
I remember TCU is the worst title game of all time.
We talked about this at different points since the game has had, since the game's been over, but like, I don't think I would have thought that we would have beat TCU 65-7, but would we have beat them 50-25?
I do think so. I think it's going to be somewhere in that range, because after a point, TCU can only just chuck the ball downfield. And for normal people, you feel good in situations like that. But for Ohio State fans, what does that mean when you back someone up to a situation where they just got to chuck the ball downfield? Is that good? Is that bad? You're probably ahead by enough that it doesn't matter. And obviously you can move the ball at will, that you're going to keep scoring on these guys. But TCU would have got some points because they would have just thrown the ball down and someone would have fallen or missed their assignment, missed a tackle, missed an angle, whatever it is.
In that Georgia game, I could arguably say that, I felt our offensive line beat their defensive line for the game, and I felt like, in my biased opinion, I think our defensive line slightly beat their offensive line, but I could give that easily a push.
Yeah.
This game against TCU, this was just and that's where the game, they were so outmatched in the trenches and they just couldn't get anything going. And, they would have been outmatched in the trenches against us. So, they would have got no pass rush on Stroud and at all. And, Stetson Bennett is a better college quarterback than, I've given him credit over the years, but he's not Stroud in my opinion. And he torched them. He was picking them apart. So this is like, this was definitely a golden opportunity. I know you can't take one situation and put it into the next situation and everything is always equal, but we would have beat TCU. We would have won the national.
Oh yeah. We would have won easily. Ohio State was gift wrapped. I don't want to say gift wrapped. They played with Georgia. They were beating Georgia on their merits. It wasn't Georgia mistakes. And that's what that drove me insane. People were like, oh, Georgia C game was still good enough to beat Ohio State's A game. No, if you came with your C game, you would have lost that game by like 20, 30 points. Like,
yeah,
Georgia played like a hell really of a well game that, against Ohio State.
Yeah, Georgia did really well. At lesser teams at a couple points in that game would have, at two different points in that game, Ohio State was blowing them out. And, a lesser team would have folded at that point.
Yeah.
And like, like TCU did.
You know, I feel like I watched almost every score of the game, but it was just so bad. I was like, I was not invested in the game whatsoever. I was flipping between channels, playing with the kids, putting the kids to bed. You know, I got so embarrassing. I mean, I think what they make it 10-7 or something like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Then it was just like, it was like the, what is that movie? The Great White Hype, when Damon Wayans gets punched in the mouth by, I can't even think of the boxer's name. I remember he has an overpowering overhand right, and that's his whole shtick, and he's going to beat Damon Wayans because of it. And he punches him one time in the first round. He goes, "Are you trying to embarrass me?" And Damon Wayans just kicks his ass and knocks him out within the next 15 seconds. I mean, I felt like that's how it was for Georgia. Like, TCU scored that one time, and Curry was like, "Are you trying to embarrass me?" And then from there, yeah. I mean, and I don't know what Sonny Dykes has ever done to Kirby Smart, because I mean, you could have probably got through the whole second half and just kicked a field goal and been happy winning 41-7. But no, he took it to TCU.
Yeah, I turned it off at halftime, and like I watched some other stuff, and then I was kind of following along on Twitter. And I just keep on seeing that, like, Georgia's keep on scoring and scoring. And then, like, I think I like on Twitter saw that they scored like two more touchdowns. And I'm just like, my God, that's like, is he going to call off the dogs now? And then find out the next morning that no, he didn't call off the
dogs. I feel like he brought in the second stringers, third stringers. I think it was like 5 minutes left in the game and they scored.
Like, when I saw that he went for like a 4th and 5 and stuff, but I'm just like, what an a-hole, but whatever, I'm okay with it. I mean, in hindsight now, being what it is that, I mean, everybody can argue about playoffs this and playoffs that and who deserves it and who doesn't deserve it, but it was BS Ohio State got 4. And I know some people took I made that comment on Facebook or on Twitter, and there was like one or two people that took offense to that. They just came onto our feed for like, just to let me know that Ohio State wasn't playing in the final weekend. Like, even though I've said a gazillion times that, you know, I've seen contradiction after contradiction after contradiction by this committee since 2014, but I have never once ever heard them say that making it into conference championship weekend was a plus. Like, you have to win your conference championship, and that's only counted for you if a couple things are, if things are considered equal with other teams. So, you know, like, TCU didn't deserve to be, I mean, honestly, they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Well,
like,
no. I mean, and I think that's the argument right there, is Alabama deserved to be in the playoffs.
Like, you know, Alabama, yeah, you can say they had 2 losses and stuff like that. And I, you know, and as an Ohio State fan, you know, the spiteful a-hole Ohio State fan that I am, like, I was happy Bama was left out, because we were left out in 2017, even though I felt like we deserved in, you know, and we won the conference championship. So we even had a better resume than Alabama did this year, you know, that, you know, but, you know, they gave it to them. They only had 1 loss. We had 2 losses. So the spiteful part of me was like, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, good. Leave them out. You know, that's what they did to us. But the other side of me was like, you know, they are better than TCU. Like, you know, I think this should be the 4 best teams, and Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. That would have been a great playoff. And, you know, and the semifinals were a great playoff. I mean, you know, the Michigan TCU game was fun. I still don't know how Michigan lost to that team that we saw on national championship, but it was like, the semifinals were great and the championship was bad. I mean, I know we've had some bad championships too, but normally it's the other way around. If you get a good game, it's normally in the championship, and the semifinals are normally been crap. And
I feel like the only bad championship games have been the Ohio State ones. LSU 19 blew Clemson out. Oh yeah, and Clemson blew out Alabama in 18. So there've been a couple out there.
Yeah. So I mean, but yeah, that was just, it was just this is a bad game. And that, I mean, talk about a golden opportunity to have an all Big Ten national championship too. I mean, there's no, I don't know how the hell Michigan lost to that team. And honestly, we should have beat Georgia. I mean, I know they came back, but, you know, we should have beat them.
But I don't want to lose sight of this, because I know you're saying like TCU shouldn't have been third. They lost that last week. On paper, they're not as good as Ohio State. On film, they're not as good as Ohio State. So just because they got to play one extra game that they lost, you know, we're not going to, you shouldn't be giving them the benefit of that doubt. They lost the game. Like, to a worse opponent than what Ohio State lost to. So TCU should have fallen back. And Ohio State's still, you know, really good on paper. They got a great offense. It's dynamic. Of course, by the end of the year, nowhere near what it was at the beginning of the year, because let's face it, they had a ton of injuries on offense. However, with that being said, your best bet to a national title was still always going to be, you get a month to prepare for Georgia, and then you've already prepared once for Michigan for this season, and you get them or the weak TCU team, and you beat them in the national title. Yep. That was always the best chance, because if Georgia got, you know, some warm-up game against TCU where they absolutely shelled them, maybe they're looking down at Ohio State, but that warms them up for that other championship game. They probably don't have to use a lot of resources to win that game. You probably pull your starters much earlier, keep them much healthier. Ohio State, Michigan are going to play a four-quarter game in their semifinal. So the best chance for the national title, in my opinion, was always Ohio State get four, get Georgia first, and then go beat Michigan in the national title game, or TCU, because TCU was the worst team out of the four.
I mean, I agree with that. And, you know, in general, the only pushback I would give is that, you know, Marvin Harrison is still, you know, going to be playing against Georgia, and Georgia cannot cover him worth of anything. And what if he doesn't get hurt in the national championship? I mean, if he doesn't get hurt in the semifinals, I mean, Ohio State wins.
Who knows? I mean, exactly. And who knows? Mayan has an extra, 10 days then to get that ankle healthy. Maybe he can give a little bit more against Georgia than 2-3 plays, even though, I mean, I know he only had 3 plays, but I think he picked up a first down, and he bullies him in for a touchdown. I mean,
yeah,
short little Mayan Williams ran over Georgia's defensive line to get into the end zone.
And I think Georgia might have been, you know, Ohio State would have had much less opportunity to prepare for Georgia if they played him in the national championship game. But I still don't think Ohio State's offensive line, you know, looks bad. I still think they handled.
I think they can. I don't necessarily think that there's parts that, outside of just being prepared for Georgia secondary, what you want to do, I still think your offensive line can handle Jalen Carter. Yeah. Right? Jaden Carter.
Yeah.
I don't
Something
know.
Like, yeah, one of them.
He's good. But
yeah.
But he wasn't that effective against Ohio State. So should have been a layup for a national title. You were up 14 points in the fourth quarter. You got to find a way to beat Georgia, but you were so hurt. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's one of those times, and this isn't a knock on Ryan Day. I just feel like if that was the case, Urban Meyer would have just been like, you got to dig deeper than you've ever dug in your life. You got to find a way to get one more touchdown. You hit them, you know, as hard as you can for the next 10 minutes. You run as fast as you can for the next 10 minutes. And I think he could have motivated the guys to do that. And that's not saying Day didn't say that. I don't know what the hell Day said. Day was very animated in that game. He was very enthusiastic. He was a great coach, and I think the players fed off of it. So I'm not trying to take shots at him. I just wish, you know, there was a way up 14 they could have closed that game out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, we only have one more year of the 14 playoff, and then it goes to 12. You know, I think this year would have been a good 12 team playoff. I think going
could
forward,
have been interesting. Sure. Yeah.
I think going forward, I think we're going to have, you know, some better playoffs than a lot of people think. And everybody's saying, you know, people say, you know, 12 team playoffs going to be bad. I think the top teams are the top teams, but I think that there's, you know, there's some decent parity around there. And I think, you know, like you see it in the NFL, like when, you know, you know, a team plays, you know, take Buffalo, Miami last week, you know, Miami's played Buffalo twice this year, you know, two is out in the game, but they're supposed to, I think there was like a 10 point underdog, and they played the game really close because they saw them twice. I mean, you're going to get into situations like that in the playoffs. I mean,
if Georgia plays Tennessee, and I don't know where everybody was, but if Georgia plays Tennessee, say in the second round or whatever like that, you know, who's to say Tennessee couldn't beat them this time around or give them a much better game? I mean, you know, they saw them once, they prepared for them. They saw how Georgia, you know, attacked them. I mean, it's a different situation. You never know and stuff like that. And that's what I think that's the differences in a 12 team playoff that you could possibly see is that you're going to get rematches, you know, that from teams and that you played. I mean, and we've seen that, you know, when Alabama beat Georgia, you know, or Georgia last year, and then Georgia beats Alabama in the national championship. So, you know, that happens that, you know, you see a team and it's differently the second time around when you see them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think it's good for the sport. I mean, I go back and forth, like how many teams realistically can win a national title, but like you said, you're going to get more opportunities for teams to lose. And I know there's some SEC purist bias out there that they don't want to see SEC teams with more chances to lose. But I mean, granted, they're going to get 2 to 3 more SEC teams in the playoffs anyways, you know that. So good for them. But yeah, I mean, it was just, I don't know. It just seemed like a golden opportunity to win a national title this year.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. All right. So Brian Hartline, you know, there was speculation that he was going to get the offensive coordinator's position. That is official. So he's offensive coordinator. We still haven't really heard whether he'll get any play calling duties or not. You know, that's, as we talked about, you know, before that's, you know, been that Ryan Day is considering it, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. I mean, I think it's a good move. I mean, obviously, Hartline has proven himself as a recruiter. He's proven himself as a coach, and I think it's a golden opportunity for him. I don't think the position will be too big for him. I mean, I know it's a big place to take on as offensive coordinator, Ohio State, but I mean, he's worked himself up through the ranks. Other teams do it this way where, you know, they let a coach, you know, come up through their things. I mean, he started off as a GA, became a coach, and now he's an offensive coordinator. So it's reasonable. And, you know, yeah, I mean, if he has success at it, I'm not pushing Ryan Day out, but nobody knows what the future looks like. You know, maybe, you know, everybody always talks about if Ryan Day would leave or whatever, that, you know, is it Fickle? Is it Urban Meyer being brought back? Is it Mike Vrabel? Who knows? Maybe 4 or 5 years down the road, if, you know, the coaches are all the same, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Brian Hartline. Yeah. If Ryan Day decides he wants to take a shot at the NFL or whatever, you know, and if he's proven himself and they've won a title here, that, you know, maybe it's, you know, they gave Ryan Day the shot. Maybe that it would be his shot then at that. So you never know. It could possibly happen. And, you know, I look forward to seeing how he does. I really look forward to him in recruiting. Like, I know Ryan Day, no problem getting the quarterback. We're going to get the quarterbacks. But I really want to, you know, now that you see how he's recruited wide receivers, and I don't expect that to drop at all, but I would like to see him. Let's see what he gets to go into the room with, you know, Tony Alford to try to seal up a deal on the top running back in the country, or, you know, the top tight end in the country, or the top left tackle in the country. I mean, he sold wide receivers, the program, you know, maybe he can start selling, you know, some of the other spots too on the offense. And, you know, so that's what I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I want to see, you know, how those recruiting chops go with the other positions. I mean, obviously he's going to be much more involved with all of that, especially if it's someone doesn't exactly have, you know, the signature on paper that they're going to call in that offensive coordinator, call in the big guy, Ryan Day, and they're going to, you know, seal that together. So yeah, I'm very interested to see how he can do with the rest of the offense as well. Play calling, I kind of feel like it's going to be training wheels next year.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe Day gives him a little bit of play calling duties in the first, you know, couple of weeks because the competition isn't necessarily great. I don't see him really calling plays against like your Notre Dame, your Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin. I mean, that day is going to you're at Camp Randall against Luke Fickell. Like, that's going to be really important for Day to win that game. So it's not an easy schedule. I mean, Purdue's in West Lafayette. So we're on the road against Purdue. Hopefully it's not like a night game, but we've lost day games there too. So I don't think it's going to be all right away, but I do think there's going to be some training wheels, some moments in games that Day will say, okay, Brian, you know, maybe we're doing better against Purdue than that. Maybe we're up, you know, 21 in the second half. But you can call, you know, the next couple series. Let's see how you do.
I agree with that. I think that's the way it should go. I mean, I hope it does go that way.
I'm interested to see someone call an offense, though, when he has like 20 guys to coach in his position group.
Like, I want to see Ryan Day actually give him a chance to, you know, and games that they should win, and then maybe games that they're up, to give him some opportunities to call them, because, you know, give him a feel, you know, Day, if Dave's serious that he kind of wants to be more of a chief executive, you know, then you got to start building him up. And so maybe it's not completely till the following season, but maybe if you start giving him some duties now where he is calling plays and you can evaluate him, you know, then maybe the following season you feel more comfortable giving him the full, the full gig. So, I mean, that's how I would attack it if I was Day. And, you know, and honestly, and I think that's going to be a big thing for Day, because, you know, we've talked about in the past that we feel like he needs to do a better job at getting younger players into games when they're blowing out. So now he needs to give that opportunity to Hartline too at different spots into the season. Yep. And, you know, you know, that takes a big man. You got, you know, I mean, these guys are all egotistical. Nobody's going to say that they're not. And so, I mean, that takes a big guy to really, you know, say that, you know, all right, I'm going to let you do some of this. I'm going to let you do some of the heavy lifting. You know, we're only playing, you know, and I forget their non-conference schedule outside of Notre Dame, but like, we're only playing this team.
And then they got like Youngstown State and.
Hey,
it's bad.
And we're only playing Rutgers today. And, you know, why don't we start off the game with you calling the games? Or, hey, you know, we're up big against Indiana in the second half. I'm going to transfer over the play calling duties to you in the second half. Mm-hmm. And let's see how you do.
And that's week one. That's the first game is
Indiana. Yeah, so maybe that happens. And, you know, they're up big against Indiana. They go out in the second half and you're like, all right, you call the game. And maybe there's opportunities against a school like Michigan State where they've easily handled over the last several years, that, you know, they can say that, you know, maybe he lets him call the Michigan State game to start and just be like, you know, we've beaten this team pretty handily. We should be able to beat them. Let's let you call the game. And then if, you know, if I got to come back in and take over, I will, you know, it's no, you know, but this is all evaluation. And that's how I would treat it. If I was Day with Hartline, is that, you know, this is evaluation for you too. So I'm gonna give you some opportunities here to, you know, call plays and, you know, see what you got and see if you, how your feel for the game is. And like I said, it takes a big person to do something like that, especially if you consider going into next year. You know, you could arguably make the argument that it's coming off his best called offensive game that Ryan Day's had in a long time, that, you know, mm-hmm. from start to finish, that, I mean, he was on against Georgia.
Yeah, and I agree.
So
100% agree. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think, Hartline deserves it. I mean, he's done very well here you know, as the wide receivers coach, and, you know, let's see what he's got to go to the next level.
Yeah. What I'm interested, I think, I mean, I know Day likes passing, and I don't think Day would hide the fact that he likes passing. I think Day understands the importance of a balanced team, but I'm interested to see how they kind of marry their ideas together. Like, how do you keep this team balanced that you're not just going to become, you know, a pass happy team more so than you already are? I think they're both up for that challenge. I don't think either one of them is going to let their team just get like, you know, Texas football. So, and I mean like Texas high school or Big 12 football, however you want to word that. But I think they're going to do a good job keeping it how it is. but I'm interested to see how they get to that point.
Yeah. And let's be honest, you know, now you kind of look back in hindsight, you know, honestly, our running game probably would have been different this year if there was, if they were healthier. I mean, if you think about it, both Mayan and Trey both got hurt fairly early in the season, and, you know, they were dealing with a lot coming down the stretch. I mean, they both tried to play how many times, mm-hmm. and, you know, and neither one of them seemed like they were, when you really think about it now, that there was a lot of games that they probably both should have just sat and, you know, even try it.
Trey should have got his surgery probably right at the beginning, but I'm not going to judge him on that. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Because Kevin Wilson's, you know, he's a zone running guy. Justin Fry is he's a gap scheme type guy. You know, he's a power runner. So,
and I felt like they were, I felt like they were a better running team this year when they were playing man on man football and playing more power runs than trying to do some of the zone stuff. So, I might not necessarily be against, you know, some of that being taken out of the, you know, some of the stretch runs being taken out of. Obviously, you think we're going to have, regardless of the quarterback. I mean, I know Devin Brown's more of a runner, but McCourt can run. He is a runner. I mean, he has ran. So I think he's more comfortable running than Stroud was. So,
yeah,
like, I think that, you know, regardless of which one's the starting quarterback next year, I don't think, you know, I think some of that gets put back into the offense that, you know, they're going to let them run it a little bit. Especially if they can hold on to both of them, where, you know, Day might not even be, he might be a little less concerned about letting the quarterbacks run a little bit because you might have a competent backup behind him. You know, technically he did this year, but that was not Stroud's game. Stroud didn't want to do it.
Right.
You know, didn't feel comfortable with doing it until he did feel comfortable doing it. But, you know, so I think that, yeah, I definitely would like to see if that's how Fry wants to run this offense, do the running game, let it happen, because, you know, this team is, I just think they were a much better team when they're just letting the offensive linemen, you know, get up to second levels and, you know, take on linebackers and, you know, and opening up holes. And it seemed like both running backs felt more comfortable doing it that way. They, neither one of them felt that great, you know, doing the stretch runs, you know,
yeah,
that I just don't know if the blocking just was not right, or if they just, if they were, I mean, because you got to kind of slow some stuff down. Maybe they weren't slowing down enough, or they were going too fast. I mean, I don't know. And like, it just seemed like that those runs just always went for a loss.
They didn't always go for a loss, but they weren't the most successful. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it'll be interesting with Heartline. Definitely look forward to seeing where that goes. Alrighty, players. So, CJ Stroud, you know, no surprise. He declared for the draft.
Top five pick, most likely, until they start the BS, you know, that he's lazy and doesn't. Yeah, whatever I heard with Haskins and Fields that took him out of the top five. So don't listen to that. Watch the film. CJ Stroud is an NFL quarterback. He showed against Georgia that he's willing, you know, when he needs to, he'll run the ball. He'll put the team on his back. So draft him as high as possible.
Yeah. And I mean, his arm is,
elite. I mean, he doesn't have the downfield passing, maybe accuracy or want or strength as, let's say, Justin Fields, but I don't know if I've seen a guy, at least in Ohio State uniform, that can make every single, like, drop in a basket throw like he can. I mean, yeah, it's just insane how he throws the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing he needs to work on is that, you know, obviously just to be a little bit more aware to take yards when you can get yards. But, you know, that's not as big as an emphasis in the NFL. So, I mean, he'll feel a little bit more at home.
Taking the hit in the pocket as well, I think, is something he needs to work on where, and I think his arm does bail him out, but there were a lot of times that he let his weight and momentum go away. When he would feel that pressure coming, he would jump back and try to do it all with his arm. So you're going to get hit, man. Just step into it.
Yeah. And, you know, last year he was better than he was this year with it, but maybe he just felt more comfortable with the receivers last year that he, you know, these guys are not going to necessarily be open. So like you're throwing where you expect the guy to be, not where he is.
But he's the best Ohio State quarterback to ever do that.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It just seemed like he regressed a little bit this year on it. And like I said,
I think it was a confidence thing of not having the same guys.
Yeah. So I mean, that's how I feel too. Is that I just think that, you know, probably he just needs to work on that a little bit.
But if you hold the ball too long in the NFL, it's an interception or you get killed. So you don't have the luxury of waiting for all that to develop in the NFL because your guy is always covered anyways.
Yeah. And you got to always remember. And I know that you think about guys like Chase Young and Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett and those guys, but every team in the NFL has a good pass rush.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, there's teams in college football you play that could not develop a pass rush whatsoever. Every team in the NFL, I don't care if it's the worst team in the league or the best team in the league, everybody's got somebody on that team, at least one, if not two or three,
right,
that get, you know, I mean, down hell against
we're Browns fans. I mean, the Browns only got one, but he's a hell of a one, you know. He's probably, I mean, I think he had the best success rate for, and he gets double teamed every freaking play. So yeah, I mean, some people only got one, but some of them are really, really good.
Yeah. So that's one thing you got to remember is you're going to be going up against guys that could really rip your head off. So, you know, find your guy open, know where you're throwing it to, and, you know, do your best to look off a safety and find, be able to, you know, speed your mental clock up, but they are coming. But, so he's leaving, Hickman's leaving, both our tackles are leaving, and Whipler's leaving. So that was pretty much what I would have expected. Cam Babb, I know, decided he's moving on. Baptiste transferred. Mm-hmm. Cam Brown, of course, he was eligible. I
never heard anything about Pryor, though. Proctor. I didn't hear anything about Proctor, so I don't know what's going on with him.
And Ransom decided to come back, right?
Ransom's coming back. Yeah, he didn't make a big deal. His dad just told the dispatch he was coming back. I mean, honestly, out of everyone that said they were going to the NFL, like the tackles, that's kind of what I always thought was weird about the tackle recruiting and how they approached the tackles and the portal this year was, I mean, I don't think nobody had a doubt that both those tackles were gone. Like,
no, and especially
DeJuan was never going to go get a bad enough grade that he was going to come back again. Like the guy's been pretty solid that he's a second or third rounder. Who knows how with that size and his speed, DeJuan might end up a late first rounder.
Yeah. You knew Paris was going, but like for sure. But with DeJuan, you should have known definitely he was leaving about halfway through the year.
Yeah, he just played so well this year.
Outside, you know, he makes boo-boos on false starts and stuff like that, but the dude doesn't hold. Like, he barely has any holding penalties, and when they actually let him go out and block, I mean, nobody can get around him.
No.
Good luck. And when they actually let him run block, like real run block, and not do stupid stretch, like zone blocking, like, dude crushes people.
No, like, DeJuan needs to be meaner at the next level because you could see the greatness 60% of the time. But then there's some times where he's just like, oh, I'm a big body, let me just push this guy a little bit. And it's like, dude, crush somebody every single play. Like I've seen you at your best and no one can stop. I mean, remember the Maryland game? He's on his knees and he pancaked someone. Like dude is a monster. He's a different type of dude. He's going to probably have to still lose a little bit more weight at the next level, get a little bit healthier, a little bit quicker. But he's really quick for the size he is. And he's so strong and he's so big. He's a mountain. So there was no chance you were getting either of those guys back. That's why you really had to do full court press on some big tackles this year. And they didn't. Disappointing. I kind of thought Whipler would come back, but I guess, you know, he played really, really great against Georgia. And if it's a short, you know, or not a great center class, now's the time to jump. I didn't come up with this. I don't remember who said it, but it's kind of funny how In 2018, Ohio State got the best center in the country, Matthew Jones. 2019, they got the best center in the country, Harry Miller. And then 2020, they got the first or second best center in the country, Luke Whipler, depending on, you know, what service you were looking at. And it's like they're going to the NFL or finishing their careers kind of in reverse, that Luke's, you know, he's 3 and done. Like, that's kind of crazy for a center, especially with what he had in front of him. Harry, of course, you know, medically retired, but Matt Jones, surprisingly, is coming back for a 6th year, and he'll either be a center or they'll get a center and he'll be a guard again. So, which that's that was a huge pickup or a huge keep for Ohio State.
Oh, definitely. And it seems like this kid that they picked up in the transfer portal, even though he played tackle, that he might actually, from what you were talking about earlier, that he might actually fit better at guard or center. You know, if he can play center.
Yeah, but he's not very tall. He doesn't have a tackle body. He's like 6'2", 6'3".
I just don't get, like, I get it why they missed out on some tackles in the recruiting class.
Vic Cutler.
It's Fry's first year. Like, I get all that. You know, hopefully he does better in this next recruiting cycle. He wasn't really familiar with some of the guys that they were going after. But I just don't get, I mean, it's just like the most disappointing thing to me is like how they couldn't close on some of these transfer portal guys. Like, literally, like, we're losing both of our tackles. You know, this is Ohio State. Like, you are in the line to start next year. Like, you know, you have experience. You could start pretty easily. And, you know, I mean, you're going to be competing against guys that were second teamers that didn't really play much.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, Fryer played a little bit more. You're expecting him to take one of the spots. But it's just for them to not to be able to at least bring in one big time tackle out of the ones that were out there. And there were some decent kids out there that, you know, I thought that, like, all right, they should be able to get one of these kids. And
like the Washington State kid, you know, he got a USC and UCLA offer. It's an uphill battle. He was a California kid, but, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you don't want to just take a body to take a body. And I'm not sure if that's what happened here. Like we've been saying, though, he might be a guard. He might be a center. I read he had gave up 8 sacks as a tackle. So not great on that, but I did watch some film and he actually does have surprisingly, like, really good footwork and quick feet. So it's just, you know, you're not meant to be a tackle at 6'3", 6'2".
No, but
so hopefully, you know, you got use his depth and he can help contribute in the middle there.
I think
you need Fryer's some tackles.
I think Fryer's definitely, you know, is going to be a
Fryer will guys. Be fine. He'll be fine. He's good.
And, you know, I think, I mean, he's raw, but, you know, this could be Tagger's opportunity that, you know, he's definitely going to have a shot at that Mikowski or Milikowski, however you pronounce it. He'll have a shot at that.
Mikowski. Yeah.
You know, I think those are probably the two that are going to be competing for the other spot. And there's a couple other guys in there. They just don't have a lot of depth. And, you know, it makes you nervous. So you're depending on one of these guys to really, like, you know, to really show up because, you know, you don't got a lot of depth to do a big competition. And that's where I think that they kind of missed out trying to get one of these kids. And, you know,
if you want to keep developing and keep being, you know, this passing team, though, you got to start winning and getting some, you know, 6'7" legitimate tackle bodies on your team. Like, you got to get guys that can protect the quarterback.
And the transfer portal, you know, I mean, people can say what they want. I know I get there's hesitation around it and stuff about team chemistry and stuff like that. And I just think he needs to get over it because, like, you know, in reality, that's how Michigan has pieced the last couple of years and they've been really good. That's how they pieced their offensive line together. You know, they've gotten a lot of transfer kids.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they have a core and then they get solid pieces and they're real good pieces that transfer in to fill in gaps of people that have left. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's pretty genius to me. And they're doing it again this year.
Yeah. That's how I would attack it.
But
anything else on any of the other guys that you want to talk about? I mean, it was big getting Tommy back.
I mean, getting Tommy back was huge. I thought it was kind of crazy how people were concerned with CJ Hicks playing time. I get it. CJ Hicks is a hell of a talent, but I always like my whole thing is I understand that that guy might be better than Tommy in 2 years, but I don't think he's better than Tommy next year. And I'm not going to trade a mythical title 2 years down the road for a mythical title 1 year down the road. I want what gives my team the best chances to win a championship that next season. Tommy Eichenberg does. So that's who I want there. I'm happy he's back. They got to get CJ Hicks on the field more than they did. I mean, it was a crime. Yeah. How little he played as a freshman when he had opportunities. They got to get him on the field.
I mean, that's Ohio State fans in a nutshell. And this is probably all fans around. I don't know. It's probably all fans around the country. But, like, I mean, how many times have, you know, somebody announced that they come back and they get mad?
Oh, my God. I remember when Fields thought about it, or they said that he was thinking about it, people were like, oh, that just creates a logjam. You're going to get people that are going to transfer out. I was like, who gives a shit if someone transfers out? You get Justin Fields for another year, that's another chance at a national title. Like, nothing against CJ, and the defense was real bad, and I don't think Justin loses to Oregon, though. I really don't. I don't know if he beats Michigan. He can. He definitely could have. It's a different type of game. Michigan has to really consider him as a running threat if things aren't working for him like they were for CJ. So, I mean, it would have been hard for Michigan to game plan against him.
You could make an argument that Ohio State's running game is better because, you know.
Oh, for sure it was better. For sure it was better.
That they'd have a quarterback that could also run, and, you know, that adds some stuff to it. And some of those things where you don't know if it's going to be Fields or Trey running the ball, or Fields or Mayan running the ball. I mean, that's definitely, you know, more Fields. And was Teague still there last year?
Teague was there. Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't know. It could have been Fields or anybody who's running the ball. Like, you know, you wouldn't know. So, I mean, that would have been different. But, I mean, we've seen this a lot with stuff. And, I mean, Buckeye fans like to think that, you know, we like to think that it's only guys like Tough Borland that we complain about. And yeah, I wanted to see other guys outside of Tough Borland, but I've seen a lot of guys that have been, you know, players have had good careers and then they decide to come back and people complain about them. And like, we don't know how good this person behind him is.
Right.
You know,
I know. I want the second string All-American to be playing next year. If he wants to play for our team, absolutely. Like, so, and I mean, I get it, like, but I don't know. I'm not that scared of CJ Hicks transferring in the first place. Maybe that's naive on my own, but still, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't think you can trade 2024 for 2023. Like, I just,
Hey, like I said, they got to get guys in there in games that they're winning. They got to get guys in there a little bit more. CJ Hicks should be playing. And like, he should have opportunities to play this year.
Right.
You know, that's not on Tommy or Steele coming back. That's on, you know, the coaches have to find opportunities to get them into games.
Well, CJ Hicks, hopefully he's at a point this year that even though he should have been in games that they were up 40 points last year and he still wasn't, which was ridiculous, but CJ Hicks, hopefully he's at a point this year that he can be in a game that, you know, is tied, or maybe they're even down, you know, that he's just a solid enough, trustworthy enough rotational guy that you can plug him in there when someone needs a breather.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to hit before we get on out of here?
A little surprise. Mayan came back. Definitely can understand why he did. Going to be interesting. Now I just, you know, complaining about people coming back and what that's going to do to shake up a room. So I'm not complaining about Maya coming back because he's your second best running back that's going to be on the roster. Interesting to see how that might shake up that running back room, though, but that's just interesting to see.
It will. Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting. I mean, I think probably the big threat out of all of them, if any of them leave, is probably going to be Pryor, just because, you know,
and he brings such a different play style. I hope they can keep him because that's dynamic. I
mean, Hayden got a lot of playing time this year because of the injuries. And, you know, so you got to kind of think that going into next season, he's in front of Pryor right now, just because he's the most, he's in everybody's mind right now. And, So that'll be interesting. It does create a logjam in there with Mayan coming back. But, you know, they didn't bring any new ones in. So, you know, that probably helps too, that they can, you know, they can, you know, they can register prior, and, you know, they can do some stuff in there. The, you know, they get another year, they can get another year out of him, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Okay. But I don't got anything else. Anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. We'll do something for signing day. We'll tie the whole, I don't know if the Ohio State's even going to sign anybody in the next signing day, but we'll tie the whole class up, like portal guys so far. Yeah, because
we didn't really talk a lot about the.
No, we didn't. I don't think we didn't talk at all about the early period. So
looking, I mean, that was the holidays and we were getting ready for the semifinals.
And so, we'll get into the Basketbucks soon enough. Yeah. Probably more ladies, basketball this year, because they're actually good. So.
Yeah, you know, there was some stuff that's came out about Holtman the last couple of days. A lot of disagreements about him on the internet. You know, some stupid people, you know, comparing him to Thad's last two seasons. And, you know,
this is Holtman's classic lose every game in January, man. He does this every year. So this is all part of the strategy. We're just going to have to see how far he goes in the tournament this year if he actually makes it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right now that's not looking that great.
No. I mean, the teams he's losing to are bad.
Yeah. All righty. Let's get on out.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.